The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and the peace of our Lord keep your hearts and minds today in Christ Jesus. Amen. We've been looking together at the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 22, and so far we've looked at the following: gentleness, joy, patience, goodness, and today I'd like to look with you at peace. Peace in you and with you. Do you have a peaceful heart, would you say? Are you a peace-filled person? Do you have peace between yourself and God and yourself and others and even inside of your own minds and inner soul? Do you experience peace? Or would you say your life is more characterized by war and storm and tempest and strong, loud, blowing wind and clashing cymbals, storm and war? Well, today let's talk about peace. What is it? Does God want to give it to you? What kind of peace does he want to give to us? How can you keep it, increase in it? If you've lost it, how can you regain it? And let's see what God would teach us today about peace in his word. Would you like some peace today? Let's take a look and see what God would teach us today by his word. Now, first of all, if we open up and read, this is one of the fruits of the Spirit. For we read in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is love, joy, peace, and then etc., other things. But peace is one of the things God wants to work inside of you. What is peace? If you look at the Greek, the word is eirenein. It's a state of freedom from anxiety and from great inner turmoil. It's freedom from worry. It's to sit down in the heart, to be quiet in one's inner soul. In the Old Testament, what is the word? Come on, Peggy, you know it. Shalom, right? Which is peace. It's freedom from war. It's also health and contentment and health and fullness. Everything full of peace. The opposite of peace would be war and storm. You know, when I used to sail on those great sailing ships at sea, and at night you'd have a squall come down upon you, black in the blackness of the night. That was not peaceful. There was the crashing of waves, loud sounds of the wind, the beating and tossing of the ship going up and down. And when you bring the ship through the wind, the great flapping and flailing and violent hitting of the... See, great sounds of the ship, of the sails. It was not a peaceful situation. And it would be sort of like, let me say, a soda can when you shake it up. Is this what you like? You shake it? What is it like to have a soul that is all shaken up and stormy and warlike inside? Well, you're filled with trepidation, fears, anxieties, worries, and every sort of unsettling, ill at ease, disquieted, disharmonic feeling in your soul and your relationships and your mind and your heart inside you. Should I pop it? Maybe someday. That's the opposite of peace. It's war and storm. Is there a war? And is there a storm inside your mind or in your relationships today? Or between you and God and your relationship? What's the opposite of that? That's peace. Peace. It's sort of like this glass of water. Look at that, pure and clean, and it's settled. Nice and at ease. Look at that. It's sort of like when I was sailing and you come in and in the morning time you wake up, picture you're on a great sailing ship up there at anchor in Maine and you have a cup of coffee in your hand and the sea is like glass. Off in the distance are the rolling mountains. Hanging over the horizon of the ocean are these pink clouds in the beautiful baby blue of the sky, reflecting on the glassy sea and uprising this beautiful sun, orange and red and gold, with its first rays of light coming over, and everything seems right in the world. That is peace. Is that the way you feel inside of you? Quiet, calm, at ease, in harmony, serene, as if everything is right in the world, in your relationships with God, with others, and inside of you, in your heart and your mind and in your soul. We're talking today about peace, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Now, does God want you actually to have peace inside of you? What does he seek to give you? Well, for your encouragement, let's consider this question. Is God a God of peace or of storm and war? Well, we know that he can come in storm and wage war. He's a man of war, says Moses. And when he comes to rescue David in Psalm 18, when David is in distress and his enemies surround him, David says that God bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them, flashed forth lightnings and routed them. And he rescued me and he delivered me from those who were too mighty for me, says David. So he can come in storm and in war, our God can. But his person is a person of peace. Because let's take a look at the Bible. Let's open it up. This is God's book. What's he say? So this is Job 25. Dominion and fear are with God. He makes peace in his high heaven. Say the word peace.
Peace.
Peace he makes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. In, Romans chapter 16, we read, then the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the God of peace brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. And in Romans 14, verse 17, it says, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Are you experiencing peace today? Is there a peace in your heart and soul? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And our Lord Jesus Christ said this. Think of it, hear this carefully. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. God doesn't want a storm inside you. He wants quiet and calm with him. So, do you experience that? Is this you? Should I pop it? Are you ready to pop it? Shaking it up? Or are you quiet like this still glass of water? Soda can? Shaken? Shaken and stirred like James Bond? Or are you quiet and still like Jesus? Well, what robs you of peace in your life? What is it that takes it from you? Well, sin does. And who robs you of peace? The devil robs you of peace. You know, if you picture the earth, when God first created it at the start, it was all peace. When God made the world, it says in Job that the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Everything, there was no war, there was no storm. Can you picture a deer coming out of the green forest at the edge of the meadow? Or the streams babbling down over the rocks? The purple mountains standing there in majesty? And the sea bold and clean? At that time, God and man were in perfect harmony. Peace, God and man and God. Man was at peace with woman and woman with man. That's amazing. Man with creatures. Creatures with man. There was no death. There was no storm. There was no war. Just peace. What happened? The devil came in. He enticed the man and the woman to sin. And the result was death, storm, and war ever since. In relationships. Think about that. There's, because of sin, there was war between God and man and God, because he was raging against our sin, and we were raging against him, because of our sin. There was war between God and man. There was war between man and man now. The man and the woman, they didn't get along, and their descendants don't get along. You can see that all over the world. Just look at the news. Open and look at the news. Countries don't get along. Countries and other countries don't get along. People don't get along. Homes don't get along. Cities don't get along, etc. Not peace, but war. There's war with the devil. Of course, we know that. There's war even in our own bodies because sin breaks down our bodies and we feel ill at ease in our flesh. There's war inside of us, in our minds, in our spirits, in our hearts and souls. What is it to have a shaken up soda can? Trepidation, turmoil, vexation, fear, worry, anxiety, anger, mistrust, violence, unease of every kind. No rest, no rest day or night, no peace. Is that you? How quiet are you today? Well, what did God do for us when we were a shaken up soda can? What did he do? The God of peace. Even when he was at war with us, he sought to help us, to lead us back to, say it, peace. And how did he do it? By his word. Think about this word in Jeremiah chapter 6. All right, God said to Israel, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls." But Israel answered, "We will not walk in it." God says, "Give heed to the sound of the trumpets. We will not give heed." He called them to peace by his word. This is the way. This is the way to it. But they said, "No, no, we won't do it. We're at war with you." And they wouldn't come. In Isaiah 48, oh, this is so beautiful. Listen to this one. You want to hear a pretty verse, a beautiful verse? Isaiah 48. God, it says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." Does God want to give you peace? He aimed, he wanted to, but they said, "No, we were not having it." Jesus wept over Jerusalem for this reason. He says, "Would that even today you knew the thing that make for peace. But now they're hid from your eyes. And the days shall come upon you when your enemies shall cast up about you a bank and surround you and hem you in on every side because you didn't know the day of your visitation." We looked for peace, says Jeremiah, but no good came for a time of healing, but behold, terror. And God says in Isaiah 57, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says God, for the wicked." And such were we all at one time, tossed about in total mayhem and confusion and ill at ease in every way, with God, with each other, and inside with our relationship with ourselves. Do you lack peace today? Are you stormy? Are you tossed about inside, in your relationships, in your mind, in your heart, and your soul? How about in your relationship with God? Even as a Christian, are you being tossed about in a big raging sea? Luther felt that way, Martin Luther, even when he tried to justify before God himself by keeping the Ten Commandments and the law, he had to exclaim this, and these are his very words. He says, "Thus I raged with a fierce and troubled conscience," because he couldn't keep God's law. Oh, is there any hope for peace today, people? What do you say? I turn to the New Testament. I look at Mark chapter 4. One day Jesus goes down to the sea and gets into a boat with his disciples. And they make out for the horizon, for the other shore. But as they go, the clouds thicken and turn black, jet black. And the sky is fierce. And the waves and the wind blow and begin to beat into the boat. And they begin to sink. What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping on a cushion. Easy, easy for him. But the disciples are in panic. And they run to him and say, "Teacher, "Don't you care if we perish?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." And they became calm, and the wind ceased, like this pure, still glass of water. Let me ask you a question. Bill, does God have the power to create peace in nature? Absolutely. Does he have power to create peace in your heart and in your soul and in your relationships? He does. Amen. Remember what Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." So let's now take a look at how God gives you peace, but note this, it's not like the world's type of peace. It's a different kind of peace. Let's understand that. How does God give you peace, Jenny? How does God give you peace? Let's take a look. Number one, you ready? He gives us peace with God. Between God and man and God, there was war. War because of sin. Man raging against God, and God, on account of our sin, raging against us, though he sought to save us, but raging even so. For we were sinners and God holy, we evil and God good. And you can't get those two together. God just won't have it. That is war, my friends. Say it. War and storm between us and God. But you know what Jesus did? The peace he gives us is peace between God and man. He's the man, Christ Jesus, he's the mediator between God and man. Let's open up and read about that so that you can have peace today in your relationship with God. Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed." What did Jesus come to do? To bring peace in our relationships, in our relationship with God. And he did that by the blood of his cross, because sin gets in the way between any relationship, us and God, us and each other. "I'm going to remove it in a single day," God says. "I will personally, since you're at war with me, end the war. And I'll do it myself with my own outstretched hands and my own son. Your sins I'll put on the cross. He'll die for them, and I will be satisfied. I will count that an acceptable sacrifice, and I will establish peace." The Bible says that in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Say the word reconcile.
Reconcile.
Does that mean war or peace? If you reconcile, that's peace, friends. And it says, making peace by the blood of his cross. Are you in a state of peace today with God? Let me ask you, are you a Christian? Have you believed and been baptized? And you follow Christ, right? If you're a Christian, a state of peace exists between you and God. Now, you might not feel it, but a state of peace exists. Death is conquered, sin is forgiven, and a state of peace has been established by God. Reconciliation. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It's the gospel, it's called in the Bible, the gospel of peace. So the first great thing that Jesus gives you is the end of warfare, that God is reconciled with his creation. And if you're in Christ, you have received that, and you are in a state of peace with God, whether you know, whether you feel it or not. Isn't that good? Good news? All right. Let's now get it to you. The second thing Jesus says is not only if you've believed in him, by the way, you're in a state of peace, but he says, "I'm going to put peace into your soul, into your mind, into your heart, into your inner man. You're going to go through this world, the rest of this time on this life, in quietness inside, total trust, peace." And how does he do it? By applying the gospel that I just preached to you, forgiveness, that you are forgiven, you're in a state of peace. Do you feel a little more peaceful so far? Hopefully you do. But you know what? A lot of Christians, we mess up at this. We mess up here. Because we know we're saved, we know we're forgiven, but we're kind of like, oh my goodness, I still see sin in my flesh, and I know I stumble and or I trip at times. Oh, I wonder if I'm really okay with God. Maybe he's angry with me. Maybe a state of war has come up again. Maybe I'm in big trouble. And so what happens? We're getting shaken up again, right? We're getting nervous. We're not sure. We're really not quite certain about our relationship with God. Anybody feel that way? Who's doing this? The devil robbing you again, trying to say, well, you know, look at your own sins. Look at your life. Maybe God is not really so happy with you after all. Maybe you're still at war. It's sort of like Peter when he got out of the boat in that storm and he sees Jesus there and he's walking on the sea because he's got his eyes on Jesus and the gospel. The devil kind of stirs him up. Look over at the waves, Peter. Look at your own righteousness. Look at your own sins. Like we do, right? And he sees those and he begins to be afraid and he begins to sink. We can do the same thing, can't we? Don't you experience that? I experienced that. One day I'm feeling totally great. Other times I'm like, oh, I don't know. What's Jesus do? Put your eyes back on me. Reaches out his hand, lifts us up, makes us stand. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know, if you're feeling stormy in your relationship with God today, though you follow him and you're a Christian, here's the good news. Me. I've arrived. Greg, the preacher, right? God sends people to preach to you and confirm in you again the good news. Comfort, comfort my people, God says in Isaiah. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I'm here to do that today. I cry to you that your warfare is over. And I speak tenderly to you that peace God has established because of Christ, the friendship of the gospel. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him, in Christ, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And whenever Jesus forgives somebody in the Bible, like that woman, remember, that was so wicked, but Jesus forgave her, weeping at his feet. What did he say to her? Your faith has saved you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Oh, if you could go out here today in peace, I'd be so happy today. Through the gospel, through the friendship of Jesus Christ, by what he did for you at that cross. God wants you to go out of here in peace. So that's number two. Keep getting it in. If you keep getting disturbed by the devil, keep going back to Jesus and the gospel. There's peace, says the Lord, for you in Christ. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, Jesus gives you peace in your life, whether you meet good or bad. Now, what did I say? The peace that Jesus gives is not as the world gives. The world has peace when everything's peachy keen, right? When there's no enemies at the borders, when I got a lot of money in my pockets, when my health is great and my youth is vigorous, and when all things are right and good in the world, then I have peace. Because for the world, their peace is established based on what's outward around them. Then they'll have peace. When the enemy leaves, etc. But as soon as the enemy arrives at the border, as soon as sickness hits the body, as soon as finances take a downturn, relationships turn sour, and death stalks close, their peace is gone. They got none left. Because that's the worldly peace. A Christian's peace is altogether different. Not as the world gives. But it's untouchable. It's based on what? Again, the relationship you have with God through the friendship of the gospel by which you have peace with God. In other words, if God is with you, and if God is for you, let the storms come. Let the waves beat against my boat. Let the winds howl. If God is for me, who can be against me? Amen? Amen. You got peace that's not dependent upon your pocketbook or your physical health or whether death is close or far away. Because if God is with you and God is for you by the gospel of Jesus Christ, then what else really matters? He's going to see me through and I'm going to get the victory and get the winning in the end. The Bible says in Psalm 138, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Thy steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of thy hands. In other words, a Christian's like that little children's toy, weebelows wobble, but they don't fall down. Remember that one? They wobble. We get disturbed at times by the things. You know, we're not happy when we get sick or our finances go down, but we don't fall because of it. Because our Lord makes us stand. Remember Paul and Silas? They were in prison in Philippi and chained up and beaten, suffering wounds. Were they down in the mouth? Were they defeated in spirits? Did they give up? No. Through those dark and stony, dank halls of the prison, there came the voice of, can you hear it? Singing. Cheerful hymns to God. What is this? Says the Philippian jailer. Why are these people singing cheerfully in my prison? It's because they have friendship with God through the gospel, which doesn't leave them in outward circumstances. Whatever it is, they will get the victory. They know it. No dank, dark prison can extinguish that sparkling light. And it's the same for you. You're going to get, if you have cancer, if you have bad finances, if death is closing in on you, rejoice, because the Lord is with you. It's by the gospel, by the friendship you have with God through Jesus Christ, which is not going to fail you. The Bible says, thou dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Peter walked on the sea and looked at Jesus. As long as he did that, he's great. You guys look at the gospel, look at Jesus, look at your friendship with God through him, and you will never lose your peace, I guarantee it. You won't. When I get worried sometimes, I do get worried. We all get worried, get tossed about, and I can't sleep. You ever have nights like that? You can't fall asleep because of all your worries, all your troubles? I picture myself walking down this long jetty, like up in Rockland, Maine, if you ever walked there, at night, and the storms are crashing, and the winds are blowing, and the waves hitting against the rocks, and I walk down this long jetty, and at the end of it is a lighthouse. And I see the sweeping light, whoosh, across the darkness and the wind and the rain. And there's a man standing there at the entrance to it. Jesus. I'm carrying a big suitcase of my troubles. And he says, I have a room for you, Greg, right in here inside my castle, inside of my lighthouse. But one condition, you got to hand me that suitcase. You got to give me all those troubles that you got. I'll take care of them till the morning. We'll take care of them then. You just got to give that to me and then you can go in. I say, okay, Jesus, here's all my troubles in my bag, in my suitcase. He takes them. I gain entrance into this beautiful lighthouse. I walk inside. It's a small room, round, but I see in it a little cot and a little table and a little lantern and a Bible on the table. And I lay down and I get all cozy. Barely hear the wind outside anymore. It's pretty much quiet. And I lay down and go to sleep. It works. I do that. But God keeps us that way. It says, as David said, in peace I'll both lie down and sleep. For thou alone, O Lord, makest me dwell in safety. So fourthly, Jesus gives peace in our lives with other people. Because you know what? If you walk in his way, it's honest. It's good. It is kind. You're quick to forgive other people. You put on love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. And even your enemies. The Bible says, right, you know this one, Michael. Proverbs 16, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, you have a much better life in every way when you Jesus gives that to you and you'll follow him. But you know what? Others will at times arise against you. That happens. Moses had his Pharaoh. Jesus had his Pontius Pilate. You'll have your adversary, but you're going to have peace anyway. Even when the enemy comes against you. When I was in the ELCA years ago, the other Lutheran body there, I was, as you know, brought up on charges, sent to the seminary because why? I was preaching, you need to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. They didn't like that. I also said that the Bible is true and not full of errors, and they didn't like that. When I went there, there was an assistant to the bishop, flew down from New England, and five seminary professors. I think it was five. So I go into this room, it's 6-on-1 for battle, basically. But you know what? I was a little bit nervous for battle, but in my soul, I felt peace, just quiet. Because you know what? It wasn't 6-on-1, it was 6-on-2. 6-on-Jesus and Greg. Greg and Jesus. And all I did was just quote John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Therefore, we need to believe on Christ. And I said, as for the Bible, Jesus says scripture can't be broken. Therefore, it's true. That's where I am. And they didn't like that. They raged against that. They got angry. But I won. And quietly and courteously, but strongly, because it's just Jesus and me going through this together. The world only has peace. Listen carefully. I'm almost done. When the enemies are gone. The world only has peace when the enemies depart. A Christian has peace in the midst of his enemies. If there's a hurricane around you, you're in the eye of the hurricane, under God's careful, calm eye. If the sharks swim about you and swirl and circle, but I am on His Majesty's unsinkable ship looking down at them. If the wolves come out of the forest, yet I look down on them from the battlements of my Lord's castle. And David, with clear, calm eyes, stared into Goliath and stared him down. And Stephen, when they sought to stone him, it says, gazing at him, all who saw at the council that saw his face saw that his face was like the face of an angel in the midst of his foes. You have a peace, friends, the world can't understand. And even when death closes in on you one day, which it will, not to be afraid, when the righteous man is taken away, says the Bible, he enters into peace. They rest in their beds who walk in their uprightness. And when Betty, our great saint hero, went home to God some years ago, she was saying, "What are you waiting on, Lord? I can't wait. Let's go." And you're going to hear a voice that's going to say, "Come up hither." And in the midst of their foes, they will go up to heaven in a cloud. That is, you will. Yes, if God be for me, who can be against me? So here's my final point here. You get a peace, friends, that God's given you that the world doesn't understand. They only got peace when outward circumstances are happy for them. Then they have peace. But as soon as the enemy comes or sickness comes or death stalks, their peace is gone, not yours. Because through the friendship you have with God, where you are in a state of peace, no more warfare, you're forgiven. You have God as your friend. He's with you. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm even going to conquer death through this. And one day, He's going to remove our outward troubles too. Because He is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of Jesus' government and of peace, God says there'll be no end. It's going to go on forever. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And it's the zeal of the Lord of hosts that's going to do this. By the friendship of the gospel, you have peace. Therefore, I'll conclude with 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Therefore, may the peace, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times, in all ways. The Lord be with you. Amen.